Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
We got a loud church today. How many of you guys love a loud church? How many of you guys love a song like that? Oh, there's so much good going in there. Prepare for the young and the old to come back to Jesus. Are we preparing for that? And are we excited about that? And are we ready for that? I hope I am. And I hope you guys are as well. Father, Lord, accept our worship this morning, Lord God. Let it be loud. Lord, last night I prayed that when we have worship this morning, that, Lord, you would be pleased and that the heavenly host would join in. And, Lord, I believe that's happening right now. I believe it. Lord, take our big, bold prayers, Lord God, submitted to your will and your way. And Lord God, we ask you to honor those prayers as we know that you will. Lord, your word does not return void. So Lord God, help us to speak your word, to say your word, to share our testimony. Jesus, it's all about you this morning. It is. It's just all about you. Let us not make it anything that it shouldn't be. And as we bring our emotions here today, Lord God, let them lay them at your feet. Let us lay them at your feet. Lord God, if it's fear, if it's anger, if it's excitement, if it's joy, Lord God, we give it to you. So Lord God, in this time, in these next few minutes, Lord God, as we dig into your word, look at the principles in the book of Acts, Lord God, help us to see the practicality of those things. And Lord God, help us to live a life that is practical. Because Lord God, your way is the right way. And anything outside of that is impractical. So Lord God, as the world tries to label us and keyhole us and tell us all the reasons that we're wrong, Lord God, reveal to us in our spirit how practical serving you actually is. Lord, with that comes confidence. So Lord God, be glorified this morning in all that we say and all that we do, in how we receive your word, in the way that we worship, in the way that we respond at the end of service. Lord God, let it be submissive to you and let it honor you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and everyone shouted out. Amen. I love a noisy church. I love, man, that last song, it was getting loud, wasn't it, Jen? The voices were getting loud. Love it. Let's keep that up, though, because sometimes we have a tendency to be like super loud in worship, and then we get done with worship, and you guys sit down. That's like, man, old school tradition church. Stand up, sit down, don't say a word. That's not us. Us, man, we're excited. If you want to say amen, hallelujah, preach it. Brother, you say all of those things this morning. Kids, you guys can be dismissed. Head on down. It's going to be an awesome time downstairs. We prayed for the kids this morning that man, we're going to receive some Jesus up here, and they're going to receive some Jesus down there. So be blessed, all you children that are leaving. Remember, if it's your kids, it's your grandkids, ask them what they did in church today, what they learned in church today, and then share with them what you learned. That means you have to pay attention. 24-hour prayer. I love the Sunday mornings after 24-hour prayer. It's just a little bit different because it's our hearts are focused in a whole different way. So that gets me excited. I got to talk to several people in that closing hour, and they shared some amazing things with me, what God showed them. People this morning were telling me stuff. It's just so cool. The boards are out in the foyer. Lots of different scriptures, lots of different just writing stuff down. If you have time, take a look at those. If you didn't participate this time, we'll get back into the mode where we'll do 24-hour prayer probably once a month. We will especially have it before our Christmas Eve service. So just to give you an idea here, Christmas this year is on Sunday. We're not going to meet here Sunday morning, if that's okay with you guys. You guys spend that time with your family, but we're going to push all of it into our Christmas Eve service. And if you guys have been here in the last couple of years at our Candlelight Christmas Eve service, you know that, man, it's packed and it's good. I want everybody to be praying for that service right now. Man, it's going to be, we're going to push the bounds on that service. It's not just going to be the happy Christmas Eve service. We're going to talk about Jesus and why it is so important in this day and age to follow Jesus. So we'll have a 24-hour prayer somewhat before that. It's going to be really, really great. I just wanted to throw that out there for you right now. I don't know why. That was just on my mind, but it's going to be awesome. It will be a candlelight service, though. So, and I'm ordering the little candle holders now. I'm going to order them Monday. Because last year in November, they were all gone. They were on a boat somewhere between here and China, and they actually have them in stock. All right, let's run through announcements. We've got a great week coming up. We got a busy week coming up. So men's ministry kickoff barbecue is when, men? Oh, gosh, that was so terrible. When is it?
Tomorrow.
All right, men. Tomorrow, Monday, September 19th, 6 p.m., it'll be in the office complex. Men, I'm looking out. I'm seeing men in this service. I expect you to be there tomorrow night. Can I expect that? Because we're going to eat, and we're just going to hang out, and we're going to get to know each other, and it's so easy for men to say, oh, I just want to stay home. No, don't stay home. Come. It'll be great. And then Tuesday, what's going on Tuesday? No, it's not going on Tuesday. We're not painting Tuesday because the temperatures are going to be low enough. Isn't it just funny that we had to wait this far out to paint because it was 90 degrees every day and it was too hot, and now it's too cold. So now we're shifting to our alternate date, which is Saturday, October 24th. It will be this coming Saturday. Don't come ready to paint Sunday. Come ready to worship, but... Oh, did I put October? No. I had to do all that this morning in a program I'm not used to. It's not October, it's September. See, I'm so excited about Christmas Eve. I just want it to be here. It's September 20th, this coming Saturday. So everybody who was so like depressed and bummed out that we were painting on Tuesday and you couldn't come Tuesday because maybe you had to work. Now you don't have to. It's Saturday, so we can all come. But Bruce and Debbie are so like excited and ready to get started. They will be starting painting tomorrow. So if you have nothing to do tomorrow and you want to show up and paint for a couple hours, please show up tomorrow. They're going to get stuff started. But the main painting day is Saturday, September 24th. Oh, goodness. And then... Women's ministry also kicks off on Tuesday, doesn't it? So women's ministry, it's going to locations. It'll be here at the office complex in the evening. It'll be at Carol Schultz's house at the 3:30 to 5. Those are right. Okay, perfect. And then Wednesday, let's just keep rolling. Wednesday, we have life groups, kids, youth. That starts at 6:30. If you haven't attended any of it yet, just jump in. Dave has given us incredible notes, so you can jump in and you'll get the gist of what's going on. It's been a really cool class for the adults. I can't speak to anything else because I'm in the adults. And then Thursday, nothing's going on Thursday. Thank goodness. But we'll just jump to Sunday. The first last Sunday starts this coming a week from today. So bring a dish to share, bring a main dish and a side or a dessert. We love it. Invite people. the connection that happens during these type of things is amazing. So that will start this, a week from today. Be ready for it. And then for this first one, we're doing the movie afterwards. If you want to stay for the movie, The Most Reluctant Convert, The Untold Story of C.S. Lewis, it's going to be really, really, really good. Just put it all on your calendar. There's a lot this week. And then on your radar as well, the Corn Maze, Bridge Builders Corn Maze. If you went last year with us, that's always fun. It's down in Townsend, not Tahiti, but Townsend. And that will be October 15th, and you'll get more information about that. And then October 31st, which is a Monday, we're going to do the Trunk or Treat again. Trunk or Treat, we get hundreds of people through the Trunk or Treat. I mean, it is so busy. We'll probably advertise it on Facebook this year too, so who knows how many we have. But in saying that, we need trunks. We need trunks. Oh, yes, amen. It is fun if you've ever done it. Last year we shifted to earlier hours, right, from 4 to 7. We're going to do that again. That way the kids can come between 4 and 7, and then they can go trick-or-treat other places. But 4 to 7 works really good because then we can tear down and get home and relax. But please, 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 if you're newer here and you've never been through a Halloween trunk-or-treat here, please consider doing that. A lot of them are trunks that are decorated, but they also have a little game to play because we believe the children should have to earn their candy. Grace is free, right? God's grace is free, but the candy isn't. So Google it, get an idea. It's always fun. If you've been here, man, if you've done the exact same trunk or treat for the last 5 years, because this will be the sixth year we'll do it, do the same thing. The kids don't care. And we get new people, and it's not like you got to, like, change your clothes and look different each day. Each trunk or treat can look exactly the same. Amen? Good stuff coming up. Good ways to reach out and be exposed. The biggest thing we can do, and we especially learned that through this last movie and putting ads on Facebook, was there's a lot of people in this community, a lot of people that have no idea there's a church up here. That was the main response we got for the visitors to the, we had no idea there was a church up here. That's tragic. That's terrible. We're going to try to get the word out any way that we can. All right, four ways to give, isn't there? Always four ways to give. You can give online, right there. You can text. See, I know this. I'm a creature of habit. Giving boxes in the back. You can write on the envelope, designate it, or you can mail it. People use all three of those. I want to commend you guys for giving. We're a good giving church. We understand that principle. I just heard on the radio this last week that the average age of a person that gives in church, like nationwide, is 65. You know, that's the average age. Hey, Mike, you're under average in age, finally. I know you've been waiting for it. Finally, you're under average, yeah. The tragedy to that is that young people aren't understanding the principle of giving, right? And all that comes into their lives. We understand it pretty good, but there's some in here who have never tried it. I would encourage you to try it. God does miraculous things. We don't give for those miraculous things. We simply give out of obedience. When we give out of an obedient heart, God says, oh man, I just want to bless you. It's like when the trash gets taken out and you're not having to nag on your kids to take the trash out. They just do it. You're like, wow, I didn't even have to ask. You're just being obedient. I want to do something for you. Let's go get ice cream, because that benefits everybody right there. So think about giving if you have not been a giver. If you have been a faithful giver, keep it up, man. God continues to do great things. And after this 24-hour prayer and listening to people, man, we're expecting great things to continue to happen here at Bridge. I'm super excited about that. We are ready. We are ready to get to the message. As I was worshiping this morning, that word practical just kept flowing through my brain. practical, 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 and yes, we need to be practical Christians. And the reality is a practical Christian is a bold Christian. A practical Christian is a sold-out Christian. A practical Christian is what the world would label as a whack job, right? Because they're so, and Bonnie said amen. But that's the practicality of it. And all that ties together that this message today, we're on principle number 3, and it's a very practical principle. It's a very practical message, and I love it. I love it because I love practical things. This is a message you can grab onto and hopefully employ into your lives right now. Amen? So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you that we gather in this house on Sunday mornings. And Lord God, this community, this corporate worship time, it's invaluable. And Lord God, we take that with us the rest of the week. And though we might worship more solitary throughout the week, Lord God, that's still so valuable and important. We bring it all together. And Lord God, in a practical manner, help us to see that practicality. Holy Spirit, allow me to speak what you have for me to speak. Lord God, I believe you interrupted and you stuck this principle in there. And it wasn't there at first until Monday. And then you snuck it in. And that's okay. So help me to speak what you have. If it's not of you, Lord God, shut my mouth. And once again, I pray, Holy Spirit, don't let anybody leave here today. Don't let them go through those doors. Don't let them walk back into life today without being changed. And change comes through you, Holy Spirit. So allow us to be open to your conviction, to your challenge, to your confirmation. Lord God, our ears, our hearts, our brains, they are given to you this morning. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone shout it out.
Amen.
Amen. Are you guys ready to get practical today? To get proud, love it, love the practical. So we're making our way through these principles of the early church that we find in the book of Acts, right? And it's called, It's Time to Acts. I thought that was just the greatest title, and nobody has said, wow, you're so creative with that title. But it's okay, because it's time to Acts. Now, this is important, because we need to look at the early church as our example. There's too many books out there at the Christian bookstore that say, hey, follow this plan and it'll work for you. And they disregard what we see in the book of Acts. Not all of them, but there's a lot of them that do. We're going to go to the source. We're going to look in the book of Acts and understanding that what was held dear to them and what they prioritized way back then are the exact same things that we need to elevate in our modern churches. It's the same thing we need to elevate here at Bridge. So will our modern churches look exactly the same way as the early church? No, it won't. It's not going to look the exact same way, and that's okay. But it's these basic principles we need to adhere to, because that keeps us grounded, that keeps us focused in the ways that we need to be grounded and where we need to be focus. So here's where we've been. The first two principles are these. First two principles. Principle number one, gathering together pushes and propels kingdom movement. Do you believe that? Do you believe this morning we pushed and propelled kingdom movement? Man, with as loud as it was in here, I do. Principle number two, last week, the body must devote itself to the essentials of faith. And remember, man, there's some essentials. We need to be keying in on those things. Now, quickly, if you remember, I set out 5 expectations that we have laid out for ourselves and our body. The 5 expectations are those. If you don't remember them, if you haven't seen them, take a picture of that slide, do whatever, write them down real quick. We don't need to go through them. We've been through them 3 weeks in a row. I'm trusting that you're looking at that. But I want to ask you this. How are those going in your life? How are those principles going? Have you engaged in those things, or are you just like, oh, blowing them off? Nah, whatever. I don't just put those up there to say, hey, this is a neat thing to put. I put those up there because it helps us to grow. So be focused on those and be open to those. Pursue those expectations, and God will be faithful to both challenge you and grow you. As we step into that, he meets us there and he says, thank you for that obedience. Now let me take you a little bit farther. Now we will also look at today's principle, principle number 3, in light of the two questions that we've been asking. And those questions are, what was the attitude of the early church? We're talking about the people. The church is the people. And what is the attitude of the modern church? And that's a very personal question that we need to be asking ourselves. You guys ready for principle number 3? The practical principle of number 3. Look at this. Flip it up there. The church is equipped to operate in boldness, courage, and power. Anybody believe that? Anybody believe that it truly is? The church is equipped to do this. It's equipped. It's there to operate in boldness, courage, and power. What's the opposite of boldness, courage, and power? Anemic. Apathetic. The church has not been equipped to be anemic or apathetic or fearful or hopeless. And we're going to be looking at some examples. And today's examples, I'm just pulling examples out of chapter 4. Just chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Did you know the entire Bible, especially the New Testament, is full of verses that talk about being equipped in boldness, courage, and power? But for time constraints and everything else, we're just going to focus in on chapter 4 today. Read the rest of the book of Acts, and every time you see boldness, courage, or power, underline it. It's amazing if you do that. And I want to pull an important point from last week in here today, this morning, before we really get rolling, because it's very much a component of this third principle. You guys remember last week when we looked at Acts 2:43? Chapter 2, verse 43? I'll remind you, it says this. It's just a partial. A sense of awe was felt by everyone. A sense of awe was felt by everyone. How important is that? How beautiful is that? It's the awe factor of God. Are you looking for it? Are you looking for the awe factor of God?
Yes.
This last week, did you look for the awe factor of God? Because I can guarantee you, if you looked for it, you will find it. Have you guys ever experienced this? I experience this more often than not. Say you're needing a new car, and you decide, you know what? I want something practical. It's got to have four-wheel drive. Maybe I can throw some extra people in there. You know what I want? I want a Toyota RAV4. That's what I'm deciding on. I want a Toyota RAV4. I haven't gone to the car lot. I haven't looked for used ones or anything, but I think I just want a Toyota RAV4. You get that in your mind, and all of a sudden, you start seeing Toyota RAV4s all over the place. You're driving around, and you're at a red light, and you're like, oh, wait, there's a Toyota RAV4 right there. And then you look, well, there's one right there. And, oh, there's one coming the other direction. You ever experienced that? There are suddenly more RAV4s on the road. Or, possibly, you are more attuned to seeing them because you are thinking about them. Right? I don't believe that all of a sudden there's going to be a whole lot more RAV4. They've always been there. You're just keyed into them. Did you know this is actually a concept in psychology? This is a known and studied topic. It's known as the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Basically, if we are thinking about something, we are more hyper-aware of that something. And it can be anything. It can be anything. It's like, man, I'm thinking about getting a new dog. And all of a sudden, you see that breed everywhere. If we are in awe of God, we are thinking about his wonders and his glory. If we are amazed with his creation, we are purposefully engaged in his love, well, then we become more likely to see and experience those very things on a daily basis. Not because they spontaneously appear. They don't just, oh, Jason, since you're thinking about me more, let me change everything to suit your needs and your desires. No, it's always been there. God's glory has always been there. If we just position ourselves and we're thinking it, we're expecting it, we're hyper aware of the awe of God, then we begin to see God move a whole lot more. It's because we are open and we are expectant and we are looking, right? Principle number three really stands upon the first two principles, and the glue that holds them together is very much the awe factor. And we have a choice to employ or deny this within our lives. You guys don't have to look for the awe factor. But when I say, hey, what's God doing in your lives? And you're like, oh, I don't know, not much. Well, you know, 4 years ago, God did this. Well, are you looking? Are you expecting? Are you anticipating God moving in your lives? So we have that choice. Principle number three, here it is. Let's see what principle number three is. Once again, the church is equipped to operate in boldness, courage, and power. In your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And like I said, we're going to run through some verses. I'm just going to go bam, bam, bam. You can write them down. You can reference them later. Or you could just read the entire chapter. Or you could start chapter 1 and read up to chapter 5. Next week, we will actually be in the beginning of chapter 5. So maybe just read from 1 to 6 and you'd be really good. But let's jump in and let's just look at some of these verses in Acts. First one is Acts 4:8. I did the underlining. In your Bible, it's not going to be underlined. Then Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, members of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish High Court. Filled with power, isn't it? Acts 4:13. Now, when the men of the Sanhedrin Jewish High Court saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John and grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained, ordinary men, don't you love it? They were ordinary men, but they were filled with confidence and boldness. They were astounded, and they began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. Do people recognize you and listen to you and say, man, that dude's been with Jesus? I love that. Totally love that. Acts 4:20. Acts 4:20. For we, on our part, cannot stop telling people about what we have seen and heard. I can't stop it. I just can't do it. I'm full of boldness and courage and power, and all this stuff is within me, and I just cannot stop telling people about what Jesus has done in my life and the person of Jesus. Look at Acts 4:29 and 30. And now, Lord, this is a prayer. And now, Lord, observe their threats, take them into a court, and grant that your bond servants may declare your message of salvation with great confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders, attesting miracles, take place through the name and the authority and power of your holy servant and son Jesus. Now, if you have another translation, like I do both the Amplified and the ESV, the ESV says, to continue to speak your word with boldness. So there's this tie between boldness and confidence and power and all of those things. See, this is the prayer of the early church. Look at Acts 4:31. Right after this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken, a sign of God's presence. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the words of God with boldness and courage. Man, I want on a Sunday morning, I want us to be worshiping so loud and in such unity, man. I want the people to come and say, man, the Richter scale detected something here this morning. It was like an isolated little earthquake, but it was only isolated to this block. We don't know what's going on. We can't understand that. We can't explain it with our modern day science, but there was a shaking, and how much boldness and courage and confidence and power would we walk out of here if we truly experience God in such a manner? Pretty cool. How about Acts 4:33? Acts 4:33. And with great ability and power, the apostles were continuously testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, God's remarkable loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Why did God's grace, His remarkable loving kindness and favor rest upon them all? Why did it rest on them? Because with great ability and power, they were continuously testifying to who Jesus Christ is. See, you can't walk through life and testify to how great Jesus is without living in the awe factor, right? When we're living in that awe factor, we want to talk about Jesus. It's like, oh, Pastor, you know what Jesus did this morning? And it was different than last night. And I'm like, man, you're living in the awe factor because you're open, you're looking, you're expecting, you're ready for it. Pretty awesome, huh? But let me also say this. It's pretty easy to position ourselves in such a way. I remember speaking on boldness, courage, and confidence and power and all that. I remember when we were in U.S. missions as missionaries to Native Americans, and we were involved, we were a part of what's called the Native American Fellowship. It's a fellowship within the Assemblies of God that's completely dedicated to Native American ministries. And we were pretty new into everything, so we were just getting rolling, and we were learning a lot. And we went down to the Assemblies of God Native American Fellowship Conference. And I remember it was in Mustang, Oklahoma. Anybody ever been to Mustang, Oklahoma? Telling you, when it comes to Oklahoma, you're not missing much. I know, and every Kansas person would agree with that, but this conference, it was really good in Mustang, Oklahoma, and there was this Native American pastor, and he was speaking, he was doing a class, and it was actually on spiritual warfare, but he kind of wanted to give a background, and what he said has really stuck with me. He said he grew up on a reservation, and he would describe how his dad was a medicine man. And his dad was one of the powerful medicine men on this reservation. And he can remember every morning his dad would take them outside of their little, I think he was Navajo, so I think it was a Hogan. And the Hogans always, they put the door facing east, right, for the sunrise and stuff. So he said every morning his dad would take him and his siblings out when the sun was rising, and they would have to face east, and he would anoint them with corn pollen and pray over them, right? So that tells me that his dad was a very devout medicine man on the reservation. And he went in and he talked about this time where he remembered there was a pounding on the door. Pound, pound, pound. It was a frantic pounding. And they opened up the door, and a man rushed in with his child. And his kid had drowned. I mean, his kid was lifeless. He had drowned. And he watched, and he saw his dad chant and do his thing. And this boy came back to life. He was testifying. I mean, that's what he saw. He saw those things. But then he also said years later, when he encountered Christians really for the first time, and he listened to these Christians, he said he had to say to these Christians, why would I believe in the God that you speak about? You don't speak of any power. You don't have any testimonies about what your God can do. See, I have seen the power. I have seen my dad raise a child from drowning. It wasn't until he saw a true representation of Christ and the authority and power of the Holy Spirit that he came to Jesus. See, he had no reason to turn from his traditional beliefs. I think about that story, and I also think about so many people that are so reliant upon what the world is offering them. Well, if I'm sick, I go to the doctor. If my finances are upside down, I go to the bank. Right? If I'm depressed, I go to a counselor and a doctor, and I get medication, and then we talk about my childhood, and then we can shift blame and all of those things, right? If I'm wronged, if I'm offended, then I have every right to withdraw, to cut that person out of my life, and all of those. See, that's what the world is telling them. And then they encounter a Christian, and most of the time the Christians are so apathetic and anemic that they don't testify to what is actually going on within the church. And the people are saying, man, I'm looking at your life because you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're going to the bank because you have a financial need. You're simply going to the doctor. Do you ever actually pray? I see how you live. I see how your relationships are. I see how you treat your kids. You don't seem to be any different than the world. So why would I ever come to your church? There's no power there. There's no authority there. I see how you act at work. You swear all the time. You tell the jokes just like everyone else. You don't seem to look any different. So why would I ever buy into this idea that church makes you different, that Jesus makes you different? It's the same exact thing. Boy, it got quiet. See, the devil is the prince of this world. And we have to understand that the devil has been allotted power, right? The devil has no power on his own. He has been allotted to be able to, God said, hey, I'm going to allow you to operate within these power restrictions. But there's a lot of power, and make no mistake, he uses that power every day to deceive, to confuse, and to lie to the people of this world. But there is one who has abundantly and infinitely more power. Amen. Than our enemy. And it is through our testimony that we shine the light into the dark places, and that we expose those deceptions and those things that confuse the world and the lies of the enemy. It's through our testimony, right? You know, all those books that you can read, How to Witness, and you make note cards and you go and you witness to people, and it's just this abstract witnessing. It doesn't work very well. It's not that effective. But I'll tell you this. When you share your testimony, when you say, yeah, Jesus is the Lord of my life, and this is what it looks like. Yeah, I was once here, but Jesus did this. See, when I get the knocks on the door, and there's two people, and they're carrying a Bible, and they have name tags sometimes, and sometimes they don't. You know who I'm talking about. And they start to tell me about their religion, their church cult. and it's very abstract, and I let them talk. And then I'll ask questions, say about healing or revelations or things that I've seen God do. And they'll say, no, that doesn't happen anymore. That just doesn't happen. And I begin to share a personal testimony of what I've experienced. And I have them there, and I say, well, I experienced a healing, a physical healing. I've experienced a physical healing, and you're saying that doesn't take place. Now, I want you to explain that to me, because I've experienced it. It's my personal testimony. See, there's power and authority when we share our personal testimony. Look at Revelations 12:11. You guys probably know this. And they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, for they did not love their life and renounce their faith, even when faced with death. See, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony moves us into a confident position that we're no longer afraid of death. We're no longer afraid of what this world can do to us. We're no longer afraid of what the enemy can do to us. Now, I full well know out of the book of Revelation that is looking forward to to what will take place. However, the precepts hold true for us today, as well as for those in the early church. Though the enemy prowls around like a lion, seeking to kill, steal, destroy, and deceive anyone that he can. And though our enemy is crafty, remember the serpent is crafty, and though he is powerful, the powerful prince of this world, and though he may have fooled and have many in bondage, our enemy is overcome and our enemy is conquered in our life because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of our testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever spoken? Have you ever heard yourself talking? And it's like, man, that's my testimony. Man, your testimony has everything to do with Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing your testimony is about. But your testimony is also about how Jesus Christ affected and touched your life and is continuing to do so. See, the church is equipped to operate in boldness, in courage, and in power. The authority and confidence that comes with the blood authorizes us. It authorizes us to walk with boldness and speak with courage and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, though we are equipped and authorized, it is us, it's you, it's me, it's all of us that have to make the choice to determine within ourselves if we are going to do so. Just because you're equipped and authorized doesn't mean you're employing it. We have to choose to do just that. And if you don't choose to walk in that, if you don't choose to do it, well, then it becomes useless. It's useless to you, and it's ultimately useless to those around you. It's apathetic, and it's anemic, isn't it? And that's what the church suffers from. How many of you guys in here like to hike? We're in Montana. Everybody likes to get out. Get out in the wilderness, right? Maybe you're doing the side-by-side thing. Maybe you're four-wheeling. Maybe you're hiking. Maybe you're mountain biking. But it's fun to get out in the wilderness, especially living in Montana. You know, the people in Kansas, it's like, get out in the wilderness. What do you mean? We like to go out to the farm and put the tailgate down and things like that because they don't have a lot of wilderness that we do. So we can relate to wilderness a little bit differently. Now think about this just for a second. Think about being lost in the wilderness. Anybody in here ever get lost in the wilderness and no man's hand raised? Oh, I thank you for being honest, guys. Yes, honest men. It's really good. I've been a little confused, but I never say I've been full-blown lost. But sometimes it can happen, right? We hear about it all the time. People getting lost. Last summer, it seems like last summer, there was a lot of people that got lost. Some of them didn't make it out either. So this being lost in the wilderness is a very real thing. Now think about being lost in the wilderness and the sun's going down. You see the sun, it's just getting lower in the sky. And you can feel it. You can feel the temperature is starting to drop. So even in the summer here, depending on where you're at, it's easy. You're in the hyperthermic range very quickly when the sun goes down. So, man, you're confused. You're lost. You don't know where you are. It's getting dark. It's getting cold. But, before you left, someone in your life had given you a survival kit. It's just a little one. You got a survival kit. And inside that survival kit, there are matches. There's a thing of matches. There's a fire starter, right? Something that you can take that match, light that match, touch that fire starter, and then you can get a fire going. And there's also an emergency blanket. You have a survival kit. You're in the wilderness. You're confused. The sun's going down. It's getting cold. But you actually have some of those things that can actually help you. See, you are equipped with those things. And here's the deal. You are authorized to use those things. And most of all, you are in need of those things. Now, aren't you glad that you carried a survival kit.
Right here.
But, exactly. But, you have to willingly and willfully choose to actually put these things into use. Because until you make that decision, this is no benefit to me. Well, I didn't want to break the seal. Well, I didn't think I really needed it. See, it's useless. This is absolutely useless to me right now. But you throw me in the wilderness. Sun's going down. You blindfold me. I have no idea where it is, where I am, and I'm getting cold. I have to open this up to actually use it. Now let's take it just a little bit further. Let's pretend that instead of it's just you, let's pretend that you're with a group of kids. For some reason, you took a bunch of kids out hiking. They're dependent upon you, right? Just having a good old time, and you're trying not to let them see that you're a little stressed, but you're confused. You got mixed up. Now it's you. Now there's a bunch of kids. See, these kids don't have what you have. They don't have a survival kit. Nobody gave them a survival kit. They're kids, for goodness sakes. They just burn the house down and cut their fingers off and things like that. So they don't have a survival kit. And you know what? Most of those kids don't even know what a survival kit is. Now, kicks it up a notch. See, if you now choose to not use what you have been given, you have very likely allowed harm or even death to come to those that are around you. But that's just crazy, isn't it? That's just crazy talk. Because of course you are going to use those things that you have been equipped with and authorized to use, especially when you're in a life and death situation. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, duh, Pastor. Of course, we're Montanans. We can spend two nights out in the wilderness and not even bat an eye. Of course, we have a survival kit. Of course, we're equipped. Of course, we're authorized. Of course, we know how to use that. Even if people are depending upon us, we're going to use it. Well, then let me ask you this. How many of you have had, personally or seen, a miraculous event in your life? A lot of us have, haven't we? We've either had it personally or we've been a part of it. Maybe we've been a person that's praying for this miraculous event. Something that cannot be explained except for God. This first-hand eyewitness. This is also where the awe factor of God comes in, right? Not trying to explain it away, but saying, man, God did that. God was involved in that. See, this could be a physical healing, but it doesn't have to be. It could be provision, but it doesn't have to be. It could be prevention of an accident. It could be spiritual warfare. It could be all these different things. Most of us have been involved some way or another. So let me ask you this. How many of you share those testimonies with others? How many of you guys share those testimonies with others outside the church? See, sharing our God moments with other believers, it's great. It edifies, it elevates us, it gets us excited. See, it fans the flame of the fire that's already started. That's what happens when we share with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. That fire's started, and then we come along and we fan it, and then we fan it back, and in like 24-hour prayer happens. It's like, man, I got to talk about this, Pastor. Did you know what happens? You see what God said to me? It's like, man, God put this on my mind and all this great stuff, and it's fanning the flames that have already been started. But here's the thing. The majority of your church friends, they already have the survival kit they have been equipped with and authorized to use. And most of your brothers and sisters in Christ, they have already struck that match in their own life. And they have kindled that fire. It's those that are
outside of the church. It's them that are freezing to death. And they're freezing to death through the bondage and the hopelessness the enemy has piled upon them year after year, week after week, day after day. Bondage, hopelessness, just keep putting it on them. Just keep putting them. They're literally just perishing. And here we are equipped with everything we need. Not only for ourselves. See, that's the great thing about the gospel message. That's the great thing about God working in our life. He never gives us enough just for ourselves. He always gives us and He intends us to share with those around us. And that's why we have to understand principle number three. The church is equipped to operate in boldness, courage, and power. This isn't something that you have to search out. We're not offering a class so you can come and get it. You don't buy it. You don't purchase it. You don't learn it. And it can't be taught because it's there. See, boldness, courage, and power are attributes of the Holy Spirit. They're there. Now, how we choose to use them, how we hone that, how we employ that, that can take practice, but I'm telling you, boldness, courage, and power are within each and every one of you. If you are a believer, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. See, when we come to Christ, He breathes His Spirit into us, not on us, but into us, and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the boldness, the courage, and the power are there, just like the matches, the fire starter, and the emergency blanket. It's there because we are under the authority of Christ, Him being our Lord. We are equipped and we are authorized to use these things within our lives. But we have to make that choice. We have to make that choice to use what we have been given. Not only for ourselves, because as Christians we can become selfish and say, oh no, my faith is fine. I'm doing good with Jesus. It's all about me. I don't need to share. I don't even need to go to church on Sunday mornings because it's all about me, but it's not all about you because God grants us these things, not only for ourselves, but for those around us, both inside the church as well as outside the church. Flip over real quickly or write it down and revisit it later. Jude, the book of Jude. It's such a powerful book. It's such a great book. I'll probably do a whole series on the book of Jude coming up. Jude 1, 22 and 23. And have mercy on some, because some need mercy, who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy, but with fear, loathing every, even the clothing spotted and polluted by their shameless, immoral freedom. So we got to be smart. We got to be cautious. Yet we got to grab some, snatch them out of the fire. And others, we have to have mercy on those. The doubting world, it'd be so easy for us to take the attitude that we're going to condemn the doubting world. We're good right here, aren't we? We're not too smashed today. Who feels really smashed in here today? Nobody does. We can spread out. We got enough room. Why don't we focus on ourselves and stop? Pastor, stop inviting people to church. Stop doing things that expose us because I might have to sit elbow to elbow with somebody. And that might be uncomfortable for me in my faith. See, we can easily turn things inward and we can say, they're lost. They're hopeless. Let's condemn them. But we need to have mercy on some. Some of those who are doubting because we just don't know. Only God knows. Snatching, being careful. Don't involve yourself too much in the world because you can get stained by the world. But do it within the power, authority, confidence, and boldness that the Holy Spirit allows. See, it's just that boldness and courage and power that is needed to extend mercy, isn't it? We think boldness, courage, and power means I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. I'm going to get a soapbox and go downtown, and I'm just going to preach the Word of God on Last Chance Gulch. Now I'm just going to scream as loud as I can, because that's what boldness, courage, and power is. But boldness, courage, and power is what's needed to have mercy, to extend grace, to offer forgiveness, to share your story in a personal way, to testify to the wonders of God in your life, to extend the good news of Christ. Why? Why do we actually need to do all this? Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence access through faith in Him. That is, our faith gives us sufficient courage to freely and openly approach God through Him. Isn't that an amazing passage? It's saying that we have all of those things to boldly and confidently approach God Himself. Because of Jesus, we can approach the Father. Nothing should freak you out more than approaching the Father, right? It just shouldn't. So approaching somebody else, a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a stranger, man, that shouldn't be anything. Man, I can confidently and boldly approach the throne of God. If I can do that, well, then what is it that I can't do? There's absolutely nothing. See, it takes boldness, courage, and power to convey this truth where lawlessness reigns. Truth in love, truth in wisdom, truth with boldness, courage, and power. See, the early church not only understood this, the early church thrived in it. Did they struggle with the same issues we do? See, we can get into dangerous territory when we glorify the early church to the extent that they could do no wrong, that they never struggled with anything, because the fact is they struggled with the same things that we do. Issues like insecurities. I'm not good enough. I don't know the Bible well enough. Who am I to? Or simply self-confidence, right? I don't know. I'm a little scared about that. Or sometimes what holds us back is self-condemnation. Well, I'm nothing but a worthless sinner. Who am I to speak on Jesus and the Father and things like that? Self-condemnation. That's living in who you were, not who you have become. There's intimidation, right? Look at those people. They look so smart. They look so strong. They look this and that. Remember when the 12 spies went into the promised land and 10 of them came back and they reported everything, but 10 of the 12 were saying, gosh, man, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. They're big. They're strong. And then they said, we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. They were intimidated. They weren't operating in boldness and power and authority and confidence, were they? What about self-doubt? How many of you in here struggle with self-doubt? We doubt ourselves in every single thing we do. You go to the restaurant, you order something. Oh gosh, did I order the right thing? Is it going to be what I really want? I don't even know. And that's food, but we doubt everything. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Who am I? Who am I? I'll tell you who you are. You're in Jesus. You're full of the Holy Spirit. What about this one? You ever not want to share your testimony or talk about Jesus because you're just plain fearful? Oh, not supposed to, right? Don't talk about politics or religion. Can't do it. That's not a biblical concept. You won't find that within the Bible. You'll just find that around the Thanksgiving table because we're afraid. It might start an argument, and that argument might save lives, right? Because you got the survival kit. How about this? I'm just afraid I might be rejected. Oh, that'd be so hard on me if I finally stepped out and I talked about Jesus and I shared my testimony and I got rejected. Oh, gosh. Oh, what would I do? Well, number one, you're making this all about yourself. If they choose to reject Jesus, they're rejecting Jesus. Right? But here's the deal. You just planted seeds. seats that they now have to reconcile. So even through rejection, rejection doesn't mean the door is closed. Initial rejection means you did what you needed to do and now they got to think about it. Oh, I just gave you something to think about. You may have rejected me, but I did tenfold on you. Because tonight when you lay your head on the pillow, you're going to be going, well, wait a second. Well, I can't understand that and I can't explain that. And oh, you got them. You got them. And now they're thinking about it. You never know. Don't ever let rejection be the reason you don't share your testimony. See, of course the early church, they had to deal with all these things, right? They suffered all of these things. But their sense of awe in God and their confidence in Christ, it overrode these things, right? Every day they were looking forward to getting up. They were looking forward to meeting with each other. They were looking forward to be known, right? Last week, to be known. People looked at them and said, man, those are followers of Jesus. I don't know if I believe any of that, but I can tell. They walk different. They talk different. They didn't let anything get in their way of doing the things that Jesus wanted them to do. All different reasons. They were excited because of the possibilities. They were excited because of the opportunities. They were excited because they knew Jesus was returning. When? We don't know, but we're going to live like he's coming back tomorrow. How many of you guys are living in an awe of God and like Jesus could come back this afternoon? Boy, that changes the way we prioritize things, doesn't it? And that's what the early church did. So now we have an idea of the attitude of the early church, which brings us to the attitude of the modern day church. Oh, it's the modern day church. I thought he was going to say us. Oh, I'm so glad he said the modern day church. And gosh, I could start calling names out, but I'm not going to. But I'm going to say, what is the attitude of us? Boldness, courage, power? Are we operating in that? That's your attitude. Are you living a life in awe of God? Hypersensitive. Forget the RAV4. I'm seeing Jesus all over this situation. And I'm seeing the need for Jesus all over this situation. And I'm seeing an opportunity to share my testimony in this situation. See, we got to be smart. We got to be aware. We got to be ready for all these different things while we're operating in the awe of Jesus, saying, man, I want to have the attitude of the early church, preparing for Jesus to return, but excited about the potential that could happen today in someone's life. God, thank you for giving me my survival kit. You've given me all these things. You've equipped me to use them. You've authorized me to use them. Now, Lord, give me the strength to choose to employ these things into my life. Because here's the deal. Sometimes in a survival situation, it's not just you trying to keep yourself alive. You're responsible for those that are around you. I don't know that we, as Christians, always look at those around us who aren't born again as our responsibility. You've got the answers. You've got the words. You've got the testimony. You've got the actions. Now, do we stand here and say, I'm okay. I've got a big puffy jacket on. I got some hot coffee. I'm going to make it through the night. They're on their own. We would never do that. If you would do that, man, you've got some bigger issues than we can go into this morning. But if we see somebody in need, we're going to help them, right? But when it comes to the gospel message, sometimes our insecurities and fears and self-condemnation and self-doubt and intimidation, those kind of get roaring, man, those voices. And we sink back and we look over there, full well knowing that if they were to die today, they're eternally separated from Jesus Christ. But I'm okay in my little bubble over here. That's not okay. It's not okay. God has put us in this position to have a responsibility to those around us. So what is your attitude? What is the attitude of the modern church? I hate to say it, but a majority of the modern churches, you're not going to hear a message like this. You're not going to hear things like responsibility. You're not going to hear things like obligation or even people dying and going to hell, because we don't want to think about those things. Those are downers. We want the happy stuff. But the reality is Jesus calls each and every one of us to go into the world, near and far, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, to actually change lives. Worship team, you guys want to quietly come up here. Let me remind you of these words that Paul spoke and wrote to the Ephesians. It's Ephesians 3:11-12. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Father had an eternal purpose, right? He had a plan. He had a mode, and he carried that out through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ willingly did that. Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence. Confident access through faith in him. That is, our faith gives us sufficient courage to freely and openly approach God through Christ. Once again, we can approach God through Christ. We have that authority. Everything else is submissive to that authority. If we have authority to do that, we have authority over everything in this world. So don't tell me that I got Jesus in my heart and I got no problem approaching God through the blood of Jesus. But don't tell me that I have to do this other stuff. Don't tell me I'm equipped to do this other stuff. Don't tell me I'm authorized. By default, you are. By the blood of Jesus, you have been authorized and equipped. Begin to live in that confidence. Begin to live in that boldness. Begin to live in that power. I can't say it enough. There is a city that is dying and going to hell, and it's within our reach. I'm not asking you to get a passport, yellow fever shot, all your affairs in order, and go halfway around the world. Sometimes God calls people to do that. Stephen and Danny, they're headed back to India. God called them to do that specifically. I'm not saying that you need to do all of that. Don't go and save an unreached people 4,000 miles away when we got unreached people yards away from this church. Yards away from your house. Offices away from your workplace. Classrooms away from your schools. There is ample and abundant people needing to hear your testimony that are right here in this community. They need an invitation to try us out, to belong to what we're doing here. And through that belonging, believing will come. You guys believe that? You have a desire to operate in the things that God has equipped us with and authorized us to use? I could ask the question, how many of you guys have failed in this respect? But I don't need to ask that question, because every hand would go up in this sanctuary, because we've all failed at it. And here's the thing, here's a secret, we're going to fail at it more. But who cares? Through failure we learn. Failure means we actually tried. Apathy means that we didn't try at all. Regret comes from never trying. I would rather fail than not do anything and regret that. Bring those lights down, please. We're going to worship. We are going to worship. We're going to sing that last song again that you guys got so loud with. I don't want today's message to be a super downer. I don't want anybody leaving here with condemnation. I want you guys leaving here excited, because we know that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has equipped us and authorized us. It's very exciting. We should get jazzed up with this. If you've fallen short before, that's before. Don't live in that. Cease today. So as we begin to worship, these altars are open. There's people to pray with. Man, pray. Pray to God that you begin to operate in the gifts that He has given you. Maybe you just need this morning to share your testimony with somebody. Just be like, man, I know this is inside the church. I know Pastor's talking about the outside the church, but this morning I need to use the church as practice. Practice your testimony on each other. You guys share your testimonies with me. How many other people have you shared that God moment with? Let's do it this morning. Let's sing this last song loud. Let's sing it loud. Let's worship together. And let's come before the Lord and make a decision. Man, I'm going to watch for opportunities. The God, opportunity. Man, I'm going to watch Him move. I'm going to be on the lookout. I'm going to be waiting for those opportunities. You don't have to recite the Bible to them. You don't got to beat them over the head with the Bible. All I'm saying is you got to share your testimony. Because the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony come together. And some amazing things, truly amazing things happen. There are people in your life, maybe they're on your list, the five people on your list that many of you have 10 or 12. Maybe now is the time that you share your testimony. Are we ready? Let's sing it. Amen. See, we're about to open up those doors. Hey, they're already open. The doors are open. Let's let this spread out into the community. Amen. Remember, so important, brothers and sisters in Christ, testify, share, pray with them. But don't keep it in here. Let it spread. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You guys are dismissed. Remember, painting tomorrow if you want. There's all sorts coming up. Next Sunday is last Sunday's. We'll see you between now and then or whatever.
Amen.
Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.